We've been working our way through the book of 1 Peter, and we have come to chapter 3, verse 7. And would you please open your Bible to that verse, 1 Peter 3, 7. This is God's Word. You husbands, in the same way, live with your wives in an understanding way, as with the weaker vessel, since she is a woman, and show her honor as a fellow heir of the grace of life, so that your prayers will not be hindered. May God bless the reading of His Word. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we are thankful that You've revealed Yourself to us in Your Word. You've told us what to believe and how to behave, and we're thankful for that. We praise You for it. Would You speak to us through this verse this morning? Speak to each and every one of us. Lord, may we listen, and not just listen, but may we also act. May we obey what You have to say to us. We praise You in Jesus' name. Amen. Peter has answered the question from wives who were Christians married to men who were not Christians in verses 1 through 6. And it seems that in that context, there were a lot of women or a lot of couples who married as non-Christians. And as the gospel spread around the Roman Empire, many of these women believed and they found themselves in mixed marriages, spiritually speaking. They were Christians, but their husbands were not. And it seemed to be enough of an issue that Peter wrote an entire paragraph about it, basically, answering the question. They wanted to know, how should they relate to their husbands? What should they do? What does God want them to do? Well, he gives them the answer in verses 1 through 6. In the same way, you wives, be subject to your own husbands, so that if any of them are disobedient to the word, they may be won without a word by the conduct of their wives as they observe your pure conduct with fear. So be in subjection to your husbands, even the ones that are non-believers. Why? In order that you might win them to Christ by your life more than anything else. And then he talked about focusing, don't focus on the external, do focus on the internal. And then he said that this is precious in God's sight, and that there are examples of this. Holy women of the Old Testament, including Sarah. You notice that one thing he did not tell them. Peter didn't say this. He didn't say, oh, Christian wives, you're now married to non-Christian men. You need to divorce them and move on. He didn't say that. In this larger section, all of us have been spoken to in chapter 2, verses 13 through 17. He speaks to servants in chapter 2, verses 18 through 20. Wives in chapter 3, verses 1 through 6. And then all of us, again, in verses 8 through 12. Here, Peter turns his attention to husbands. So what about husbands? Now, there may or may not be a specific question that was being answered. However, a natural question would have arisen after what Peter said in verses 1 through 6. What about husbands? What about them? And Peter wants to make sure that Christian husbands understand a few things. So it isn't like we get down through verse 6 and the Christian husbands in these various congregations, when they heard this letter read to them, said, yeah, you tell them. No, there's more. You husbands, God has some commands for you. There are some things God wants you to do too. Husbands should never take advantage of a submissive wife, ever, which they could easily do. They should never misuse their authority and their place of leadership that, by the way, God has given them. So it isn't ours. We're under the authority of God. In other words, Peter's saying, yes, your wife is supposed to submit to you, but there are some things that you are responsible for, and don't forget those things. Do not forget them. So what we find in this verse here are two commandments and a warning. Two commandments and a warning. So just like last week, you know, I said if you're not a wife of a non-believing husband, don't check out and think about recipes or whatever for the next 35 minutes or so. Now it works with husbands. If you're not a husband, don't tune out, because there's plenty to learn here. Plenty. The first command comes in the first part of verse 7. Husbands, or you husbands, in the same way, live with your wives in an understanding way. In other words, understand your wives. Understand your wives. Husbands, he says, live with your wives. What does that mean? Well, it means a lot more than simply living under the same roof or being roommates. He's not talking about that. This is much bigger than that. What does it say in Genesis chapter 2, verses 23 and 24? And please turn there so that you can read it yourself. Genesis chapter 2, verses 23 and 24. Hopefully these are familiar words. God has created Adam. In chapter 2, he has made a covenant with Adam, the covenant of works in verses 15 through 17, perfect perpetual obedience. Adam gave names to all of the cattle and all of the animals. Then God causes a deep sleep to fall on Adam. And one of the things Adam realized before that, as he was naming these animals, for him, there was not found a helper suitable for him. There were for the animals, but there were not for him. Verse 22, actually, and Yahweh God fashioned the rib, which he had taken from the man, into a woman, and he brought her to the man. Then the man, Adam, said, "This one finally is bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. This one shall be called woman, because this one was taken out of man. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh." What's going on here is that this is the relationship that Peter is talking about. A husband and wife are one flesh. So when he's talking about live with your wives, that's what he means. We are in union with each other. Husband and wife are in union with each other, and they are to live with each other in an intimate, deeply personal way that no other relationship can duplicate. So it's more than simply live under the same roof. Husbands, we're also supposed to live with our wives, he says, in an understanding way. Understanding means in accordance with, or based on, knowledge. Or you could say insightful. It's possible here that Peter means that Christian husbands need to understand their role and the responsibilities that they've been given, defined by God, by the way, not by society or ourselves. and that their wives are fellow heirs, which he mentions later in the verse, made in the image and likeness of God. Basically, they need to understand the biblical view of marriage. That is a very real possibility. I think that plays into what Peter's talking about. I think it's a secondary idea, in other words. A better understanding of this command, I think, is husbands need to be considerate of their wives, know their wives, have insight into their wives. And this is what it means, by the way, for husbands to, or it's part of what it means, not all of it, part of what it means for husbands to love their wives. Ephesians 5:25 says, husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself up for. Colossians 3:19 says, husbands, love your wives and do not be embittered against them or harsh with them. This is part of loving our wives. Not only the things that are mentioned in those two verses, but what Peter mentions here in an understanding way. So how can we understand our wives better, husbands? Albert Einstein's wife was asked one day if she understood her husband's theory of relativity. She said, no, but I understand the doctor. She knew him. She didn't necessarily know his theory of relativity, but she knew him. That's the way it ought to be, husbands, with our wives. So how can we know our wives better? First, I would suggest that you get to know your wife. Now, that might sound funny. You may think you know her inside out, but you might be surprised. Warren Wiersbe, who was a pastor, was also on the speaker on the Back to the Bible broadcast many years ago. He said when he was a pastor, he did his share of premarital counseling. He said he would often give the couple each a pad of paper and ask them to write three things that they think the other enjoys most. And he said, usually the prospective bride made her list immediately. She immediately wrote down the three things her prospective husband enjoyed the most. He said, though, that the man would sit and ponder and have to think about it, sometimes for quite a while. And what he said is usually the woman was right and the man was wrong with it. He says, a Christian husband needs to know his wife's moods, feelings, needs, fears, and hopes. And someone else has put it this way, and I like this. Husbands need to know what makes her tick, what tickles her, and what ticks her off. Very important. Know what her greatest needs are. Know what her concerns are. What her hopes and dreams are. Second, be a student of your wife. Watch her. Talk to her. Learn what she's all about. Third is spend time together. Spend time together. Now, sometimes we have a lot more time with each other and sometimes we have less. But spend time together. And I think as men and husbands, we need to realize here that Peter is dealing with sins here that are particular to men and particular to husbands. And I think he also dealt with sins that are more particular to women and wives in verses 1 through 6. In one sin in particular that men are prone to is not understanding their wives, being inconsiderate, or simply not paying attention to their wives as they should. Husbands, one thing, you probably heard it, and you don't really want to hear it again once you've heard it, is, did you hear what I said? Did you just hear what I, or did you hear what I just said? Are you paying attention? That is something we are prone to. So husbands, why should you live with your wives in an understanding way? The next phrase answers the question. Husbands, in the same way, live with your wives in an understanding way, as with a weaker vessel, since she is a woman. Weaker vessel is probably the best way to translate this phrase, not weaker partner. Weaker means, comparatively speaking, not as strong. Vessel refers to, the word there refers to a jar, a container, or an instrument. In the Old Testament, it was used of the utensils that were used in service to God in the temple. In the New Testament, though, vessels are people, both men and women, created by God and intended for God's use. So to go a little bit deeper with this, what does this mean? Weaker vessel. It doesn't mean that women are intellectually weaker than men. It does not mean that. We know that. It doesn't mean that women are morally weaker than men or spiritually weaker than men. What it does mean is that women are, and I think this is what he's saying here, physically weaker than men by and large. Also weaker in terms of authority in the marriage. Chapter 3, verse 1, and then verses 5 through 6, where it says, "You wives, be subject to your own husbands." And then verse 5, being subject to their own husbands. Verse 6, Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord. I think there's also a sense in which women are weaker in terms of emotional sensitivity. Now, emotional sensitivity can be a very good thing. And in many cases, it is a very good thing. This is a strength, but it can also be a weakness. And it is certainly the case that women are more deeply hurt by conflict within the marriage and by inconsiderate behavior from their husbands, more than if you flip that around. Then the next phrase expands on why husbands should live with their wives in an understanding way. It says, since she's a woman. Now, you kind of wonder about that. Given the biblical worldview, there are men and there are women. In the beginning, God created the male and female. So why would Peter almost waste words, since she is a woman? Well, we know that, even though the world has a hard time understanding that right now. But Peter here isn't talking about that basic recognition that I am a man and she is a woman. He's not talking about that. Husbands need to be aware that men and women are different. Very different. As a matter of fact, very different. The world today does not believe that, but it's true. It is God's design, and it has always been that way from the beginning. A woman is separate and different from a man in every respect. Even though you would never know it by what we hear every day from the world. Men and women are different in every cell of their bodies. The difference in the combination of chromosomes is the basic cause of whether or not a child is male or female. So we are different in every cell of our bodies. That's why, by the way, a man who has a number of operations to remove sexual organs cannot become a woman. or the other way. A woman having surgeries to become a man can never become a man because it's in our DNA. It's in our chromosomes. It goes down as deep as it can possibly go. We can't do that. Women outlive men by up to 5 years on average. A man's metabolism is lower, while a woman's is higher. Men and women have different skeletal structures. Women's blood contains more water and 20% fewer red cells than men. Because of that, she tires more easily than he does. When it comes to brute strength, men are 50% stronger. A woman's heart beats more rapidly than a man's, 80 beats per minute as opposed to 72 for men. A woman's breathing capacity is 30% less than a man's. Women can stand higher temperatures than a man can because their metabolism actually slows down. A woman's immune system is more complex than a man's. In women, the left hemisphere of the brain is more developed. Because of that, she has greater communication and verbal skills. She's more sensitive and context-oriented, meaning she pays more attention to facial expressions, body language, and a number of other subtle vocal cues. A woman is stimulated by touch, is more relationship-oriented, is more susceptible to phobias and depression because she has less control of the right hemisphere of her brain. In a man, the right hemisphere of the brain is more developed. Therefore, he's better at visual, spatial, mathematical, and other abstract manipulations, as they're called. He's a tinkerer and an explorer. He's more sex-oriented and tends to establish turf. He commits almost all violent crimes, although women have shown more inclination to crime in the last several decades. He reacts as quickly to inanimate objects as to people, is more task-oriented, and is stimulated visually. Women have greater fluctuation in their moods, and 5 times as many men have language disabilities or stutter than women. These are only a few of the ways God has made men and women different, very different. And by the way, men and women are attracted to each other because they're different, not because they're the same. They're different. And husbands, your wife is not one of the guys. She's not. She's different than you. On purpose. As someone has put it, men are like iron skillets, while women are like fine china. They're both instruments, equally instruments, but different. Very, very different. That's, I think, what Peter is talking about when he says, live with your wife in an understanding way. Understand that basic, understand the difference there. The second command for husbands is found in the phrase, and show her honor. Show honor to your wives. That means to esteem, to value, to prize. Some translations say respect. But respect is most likely not a strong enough word for this. A commentator called Edmund Clowney, and I've quoted him before, had those quotes in the bulletin, thinks the words precious or preciousness are more fitting. Therefore, husbands, treat your wives as precious, because she is. What kind of value do you put on your wives, husbands? How precious is she? Your wife is God's gift to you. His perfect provision for your needs. Proverbs 31:10, an excellent wife who can find for her worth is far above, some translations say rubies, the Legacy Standard says pearls. Proverbs 18:22, he who finds a wife finds a good thing and obtains favor from the Lord. So how can we do that, husbands? How can we show honor to our wives? Let me give you a couple of suggestions here as well. Tell your wife that you love her and that you appreciate her, and do it regularly. Do not be like the man who, a man and a wife had been married for quite some time, and she says to him, "You never say you love me." And he says, "I said I loved you at the wedding, and if I change my mind, I'll let you know." Don't be that guy. Okay? Don't. Do not be that guy. Just don't. Also, don't just tell her. Tell other people that you love and appreciate your wife. Husbands, be a gentleman with your wife. Let her know that chivalry is not dead. Open doors, do other things. If you want to put your coat on a puddle on a sidewalk, maybe you can do that. There are other ways to be chivalrous as well. So, let them know that chivalry is not dead. So why should we honor our wives? Peter makes that point. He says, as a fellow heir of the grace of life. That's what a wife is. Christian husbands and wives, which is assumed here, are both heirs of salvation. Salvation from the Lord, which comes by grace alone, through faith alone, because of Christ alone. Men and women, husbands and wives, are both sinners, guilty before God. They are both equally deserving of God's wrath and equally in need of a Savior. Husbands and wives are equal in their election by God, if they're chosen by God. Equal in their redemption. Equal in their sanctification. Equal in their preservation by God. And equal in their glorification. The point here is that there are not two ways to salvation. One for men, one for women, or one for husbands and one for wives. There is only one way, and it's the same for men and women, husband and wives. It's the same for everybody. By grace alone, through faith alone, because of Christ alone. Husbands, you and your wife are on level ground before the cross, and on your journey to the celestial city, you are on that same journey together. Going up and down through various things, walking through Vanity Fair and all of the other people and all of the other places that you'll have to experience. You're doing it together, side by side. For that reason, show her honor. And finally, we have a warning to husbands. It says, right at the end of the verse, so that your prayers will not be hindered. It's kind of an amazing statement, startling almost. Husbands, your prayers can be hindered based on the way you treat your wife. Your prayers can be hindered based on the way you treat your wife. There's a correlation between how we understand and honor our wives and how God responds to our prayers. Hindered is an interesting word. It means to cut in on or to throw a roadblock up. It's a military term, and it pictures an army that is digging a trench in a road to stop the enemy from advancing. God will do that with us. Interestingly enough, He'll dig that trench in the road. He will hinder our prayers if we're not treating our wives the way He wants us to treat them. And when He does that, it is His fatherly discipline. Read Hebrews chapter 12, verses 3 through 11. And when we find ourselves in that spot, we need to repent of our sin and obey the Lord. Husbands, this is God's word to us. This is what God is saying to us. He's saying, understand your wives. Show honor to your wives. And know that your prayers can be hindered by the way you treat her. So then the question we have to ask with that is, so why don't we do that? Why do we have such a struggle with it? For exactly the same reason that our wives have such a hard time submitting to us. It's a matter of the heart. Our hearts are selfish. And that goes also, by the way, for both husbands and wives. Our hearts are selfish. And yes, even though we've been redeemed and reconciled by God to God, we still have what is called in theology remaining sin. Our sin has been forgiven. We've been saved from the penalty of sin. And right now we are being saved from the power of sin, being saved. It hasn't happened yet completely. God has given us a new heart. And we praise Him for that. But He has not given us a perfect heart yet. He will one day, but not just yet. So we still have a lot to work on. What is the solution? The solution is repent and believe the gospel. The same thing that we would say to a non-believer, because we need to hear it as well. Turn from your sin, those sins of selfishness, inconsiderateness, misuse of authority, whatever it happens to be, and trust Christ. Trust that Jesus Christ, our Savior and our Lord, has died for those sins, and that He has also given us the power and the enablement of the Holy Spirit to love our wives the way He wants us to understand her, to show her honor, and to not let our prayers be hindered. For God's glory and our good. Amen.